In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. In 2010, the movie The King's Speech made a powerful impression on many moviegoers. It told the story of King George VI, the father of the current Queen Elizabeth. He was never intended to be king. This was what his brother Edward was to do. But when Edward abdicated the throne to marry Wallis Simpson, George had to step up and be king. There was one problem. George had a terrible stutter. He could barely get a full sentence out. And as war in Europe threatened England's existence, the king needed to speak. It was necessary that his steadfast vision of a free England be conveyed to his people over the radio. And for that to happen, the king needed to speak fluently and powerfully. His wife found a very unconventional speech therapist to help her husband overcome this problem, because she too recognized that the king's speech was a necessary part of who he was and how he would reign as sovereign in wartime. We find a parallel about the power of speech in today's gospel. John tells us that it is God's word that is sent to earth in human form. God's word, God's speech, if you will. If we had any doubt as to why God saw fit to send his son in human form to earth, this reading from John's gospel makes it very clear. It is so we, his children on earth, can understand who God is. It is only through God's own speech that we can understand this God whom we worship. John gives poetic voice to the problem. God is out there, not in the form that we might recognize, but as pure power and spirit and voice. God is no more or less than the eternal energy that creates and powers the world that we know. Not an old guy in a flowing robe with a long white beard, sort of a cosmic Dumbledore, but with more overtly spiritual language. Not a person at all, but a being, an eternal being. It's a little hard to imagine, isn't it? And we human beings feel compelled to try and translate God into something that we can understand. Something or someone more like us, which means a creature who is limited as we are limited. And that sure changes God, makes God into something smaller than what God truly is. God becomes more accessible if we can fit him into our perceptions of what a God might be like, but it leaves us with an unfinished portrait. It is not so much God's speech, but a mere rough sketch, a draft of a speech, not the full power of it. Well, John isn't satisfied with that, and God most certainly isn't, so they paint a different picture. Imagine then that cosmic God, so difficult to visualize or understand. Imagine that God is around forever, eternally, a time concept that is difficult for us to imagine as well. And God knows that we cannot wrap our little human brains around these images. Imagine God has present with him and in him through all of time, eternally, something that is the expression of who God is. A word that shows all of God. Now, we might think it would take a whole book of words or many books of words to describe God. Certainly, many theologians have tried to do that with mixed success. But God says no. There is simply a word that embodies all that is who God is. But we humans, we don't really know that word, so we try to make pictures or stories or rule books that shape our understanding of who God is and how we are expected to relate to him. And God says, wait a minute, you've got it wrong, and it's getting in the way of you knowing who I really am. Now, those of you who are teachers in this room, and there are a bunch of you, you know that you always start to teach a new concept by starting with the known, what your student already knows, before you move to the unknown. God, the first best teacher, decides to follow this plan as well. He says, I love you. I want us to be together. I want you to understand who I am. You know about other people, right? That's something you understand? Well, I will send you a person to help you understand me. I will make myself human in form so that you can see through this human form to see what I am about. I will send a son to earth to live among you, who is me in human form. I will send the word, my own speech, that one speech that expresses all that I am, that has been a part of me for all eternity. And the word will come to you in a shape that you will understand. The word will come to you and speak language that you understand. The word will not stop being me in all my divinity, but will be wrapped in human flesh and blood. That might make it a little easier to understand who I am and how very, very much I love you. This is why we received the gift of a human baby who did all that he could to show us who God is. God loves us. God wants us to love him, not because he needs our love, but because he knows that such love completes and perfects us. In a way, these first few verses of John's Gospel are a love song from God to God's people. He's reaching out in love to us, who sometimes seem to understand him not at all. He's giving us the very best resource that he can to draw us toward him. He wants us to know him through God's speech, as King George wanted the British people to know him through his own speech. If in the first verses of Genesis, the story of the earth's beginnings, we see God's loving shaping of our world into a place where light warms and sparks new life, and darkness shelters and provides rest. In John's Gospel, this word who is light serves a new purpose as a beacon to a world which had forgotten that first gift of light, for whom darkness was not rest and shelter, but the absence of life. Jesus, the Word now in the world, tells us who God is, what God has done, and what God will continue to do to make light the source of life and to vanquish a death-dealing darkness. John is clear. Not everyone will accept this new light, this new speech, this word made flesh. Some will try to destroy the light. But for those of us who believe, this tiny, vulnerable baby grows into a powerful vision caster, a beautifully rendered speech that shows us all godliness. As Jesus describes, the God who loves his people so much that he is willing to start at what his people know by becoming human, before taking them to a deeper understanding as he sheds his human form and his divinity is revealed. This is it in a nutshell. The ancient word Emmanuel, that word that we hear so often in the Christmas season, Emmanuel translates as God with us. God chooses not to keep himself apart from us, even though we seem to make mistake after mistake in trying to comprehend him. God chooses instead to make it impossible for us not to know him. He sends himself in human form simply because he loves us. Simply because he knows we can do better and be better when we know him. Simply because this is what God is about. Not about his own glory, which is awe-inspiring. Not about his own power, which is unimaginable. Not about his creativity, which is endless. No. Simply because God loves us. That is the gift that we receive in this Christmas season. Simply a word. But what a king's speech Jesus is. Amen.